Amen. Well, amen. Wasn't that a blessing? I'll tell you, that is, I love being an American. And one of the great things about being an American is we can do what we just did. And we're free. Amen. We have the liberty. We can open our Bibles now. We can preach from the Bible. We can have junior church with Bible being taught. And we can do what we want to do as Americans. Praise the Lord for that. And other religions can do what they do as well. And that's the price that has been paid. That's for our freedom. And I love the songs the children sang, and they can do that in America. And they can do it, and we don't have to worry about guards coming in and hauling anybody off or shooting all of us or a missile coming through and destroying us. We can do this, and praise the Lord for that. But it's because some people have paid a price. And I want to talk to you about that just these few minutes. 1 Chronicles 11, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 1 Chronicles 11, verse 15. And I was thinking about this day and thinking about just some of the things that took place. And I immediately thought of these three men that the Bible talks about in verse 15. 1 Chronicles 11, 15. Now, three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistine garrison was then at Bethlehem. This is a whole bunch of Philistines. And these obviously are the enemy. And so they were there in Bethlehem, and many of the enemy, and David is in the hold of Adullam. And three men come to him, and David is just sitting there. Verse 17, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." Now, I don't know if David really was wanting someone to do it. I don't think he was. I think he was just talking about the old days and when he used to maybe play a football game and he was thirsty, and well, I don't know if they had football or not, but he'd get thirsty, and boy, the well at Bethlehem, that was the best taste in water. And just out of the blue, he just says, "Boy, I'd love to have a drink of that water." Now, again, totally ridiculous. I mean, the Philistine garrison is there. There's soldiers there. And David, you know, he just was talking about, "Well, I'd love to have some water from the well of Bethlehem." These three men, they break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're fighting all the way that was by the gate, and they took it and brought it to David. David, I think he was in shock. Honestly, I think he could not believe. He could not believe those three men would do it. And notice what it says, David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said this, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest." I want to talk to you about this. Those who put their lives in jeopardy. 9/11, 2001, 10 years ago, 19 terrorists hijacked four commercial airliners, and each of them were headed for California, and they were full of fuel. At 8:46 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11 hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center. 9:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center. 9:37 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77 hit the Pentagon. At 10:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 93 crashed in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the passengers had thwarted the plan of the terrorists to hit either the Capitol or the White House or just to destroy much of Washington, D.C. Just under 3,000 died, ruled homicides, murders. And you know, murders do happen every day. It's not something that we are happy about. It's hard to believe. Really, it is hard to believe that murders, I'm talking about people killing people on purpose and plotting and planning as this plot and this plan. Murders do happen every day. But this message today is about heroes. Now, don't forget the murders. Don't ever forget what terrorists did on our soil. Don't ever forget that those same terrorists, same people like that and many other kinds are right here on our soil, wanting to do the same. Don't ever forget that. But I want to talk to you about those who put their lives in jeopardy every day. Heroes. Heroes. Father, I pray you'll bless and speak to our hearts today. If there's someone here who's not saved, please save them today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In that one day terrorist attack, 343 firefighters and paramedics gave their lives. You saw the scene. You saw it if you were there 10 years ago. You watched it on TV. We all were glued to our TVs watching. 343. These are people that ran into the buildings. These are people that went to help and went to save lives. 343. 23 New York police officers died. Again, not running away from the catastrophe that was taking place, but running toward it. And Port Authority police officers, 37, gave their lives as well. Trying to help, trying to save lives. They gave their own lives. On that day, over 400 people put their lives in jeopardy and lost their lives. Children lost a parent. Parents lost a child. People lost friends. 400 of them, though, chose to put their life in jeopardy. That's what David said. Do you understand that since 1775, I was shocked when I heard this number. Since 1775, over 1 million Americans have given their life. They've put their life in jeopardy to keep us free. Over what? Think about that. Over 1 million Americans, soldiers, have put their life in jeopardy and lost their life. In our text, these three put their lives in jeopardy. That's exactly what David said. He said, "How shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? How could I possibly drink this water? I wanted it so bad, but I just cannot believe that these men would put their lives in jeopardy." Now, these men came away with their lives, but day after day after day, a fireman goes into a building and the building collapses and he gives his life. Day after day after day, a policeman, he's on the job and he puts his life in jeopardy and he loses his life. Day after day, a soldier. Day after day, an ambulance driver, a paramedic in the back of the ambulance. Day after day, they put their lives in jeopardy and they lose their lives. It's amazing to think of. And it's an amazing story that these three would risk their lives. But I think an amazing story is what takes place every day. Every day, police officer gets in his car. He doesn't know what he's going to face. Every day, the fireman, the signal goes off, and there he is. And he's going into the fire. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'll run from that fire every time. But the fireman's going right into it. Every day it happens. People put their lives in jeopardy. These are heroes. These are heroes. Again, I mentioned this a while ago, and we look at some sports star, and we've got their pictures up on the wall. Take those down and put a fireman's picture up there. I like sports, and I watch sports, and I don't misunderstand me, but Put a policeman. Let's get a poster of Norm Alinsky. Put that up on the bedroom wall. Yeah, amen. Somebody answered that. No. I think about our military folks, and we'll get a picture. Maybe you want to get this picture of these heroes that were up on our platform today. Put that on your wall. Take down the Hollywood people, and they really haven't done anything for you. the music star, they really haven't. Oh, you know, well, they sing a song and I really like it. But they've not done anything to keep you free. They've not rushed into a burning building like Bob Hill. And I think, Bob, we could get him to take that mask off, to get a good picture so you could blow it up, make a poster, and put it up on your wall. Yeah. You know, neck pain. And problems that he's had from that because the building collapsed. I'm just saying he put his life. Now, he could have died then. He put his life in jeopardy, and these do that. And let's look at those who put their lives in jeopardy. And real quick, I just want to go through this. First of all, there's a call. There's always a call. You know, David had at least 400 with him, and the Bible says he had 30 captains with him, but here were three guys that just, they answered the call. There was a call to them. And when I think of a call, I always think of that little boy that says, I want to be a fireman when I grow up. I think of that child says, I want to be a policeman when I grow up. My son, David, you know, when he was little, he was always going to be an army man. And I want to be in the army. And you hear about that. I remember talking to a teenager one time. They said, you know, one of these days I'm going to be a paramedic. And I looked, I said, why? And he said, well, he said, I just want to help people. I just want to help. There's something within. There's a call within. Something that beckons them. Hey, there are people that are going to need you someday. And you can help them. And you know, we have people in the military that are doing the very same thing. Come on, we have folks here that were in World War II. They saw combat. They saw people die. They put their life in jeopardy. Could it have been their life that could have been taken? Sure. There's something within. There's a call within to serve and protect. There's something within them. These three in the Bible, they had an intense love for their leader, David. Something within told them to put their life in jeopardy. It's more than just a job. They're literally at risk. Now, some of our teachers at our Christian school might say they're at risk, but they're really not. Not like these folks. Not like those on 9/11, 2001, who answered the call to do what it was, maybe just as a little child. That's what I'm going to do. One of these days, I'm going to put out fires. One of these days, I'm going to fight crime. One of these days, I'm going to help somebody who's hurting. One of these days, I'm going to be a soldier. And it's more than just a job. They offer their life. These three, you know, I'm sure they got paid something. There was some kind of compensation for being in David's army. Somehow they got fed and something. I'm sure there was something, but that isn't why they were there, because they were willing to give their life. They put their life in jeopardy. There's a call. Number two, there's a cause. David said it best when he went out to fight Goliath. Is there not a cause? Why aren't there more people fighting Goliath? Where's the cause here? I mean, isn't there a reason for doing this? Verse 17, it's an amazing story. The text simply says David longed for that water. He just said it. He made the statement. He just made some sort of statement like, boy, you know, it sure is hot here and there's a lot of dust here. I sure would like a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem. And these three said, that's our cause right there. David wants a drink. Oh, that is my cause right there. I'm going to go serve David. Their cause. And I think of a police officer. I think of a fireman. I think of these that serve in the military and an ambulance driver. And come on, there is a cause out there. And their cause is, I want to serve people. I want to help somebody. Why does a guy go into a burning building? Why? Okay, you know, put the fire out. But oh, wait a minute. There's a person up there on the third floor. And they're going to go get that person. Absolutely amazing. Could that building collapse on them? It does often. Could they be overcome by the flames? They are. They put their lives in jeopardy because there's a cause. we. Are you listening to me? We're their cause. We're their cause. Why is the policeman, you know, why is he out there patrolling at night? And I told the story how we came in real late after a tough situation. We're very, very late. My wife and I are driving through here, and all of a sudden there's a car behind us following us, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I wonder what this is. And I look closer, and it's a policeman. And they're following me through the alley, and I thought, uh-oh, Bryn, what'd you do? But boy, you know, there they are, and they're saying, we just want to make sure you are who you say you are. You know, I said, I'm not sure if I am or not. You know, why is it we always get nervous? You know, but probably because we're guilty. But I was so glad they were out there. And often I look out the window real early in the morning, and I'll see a squad car coming through the parking lot. I feel safer because they're here. We're their cause. We're their cause. There's a call. There's a cause. Number three, there's a commitment. And verse 18, the Bible says, the three break through the host of the Philistines. These guys weren't sound asleep. They had to break through them. They had to fight their way through to get to the well at Bethlehem. I was thinking about some of the 9/11 things that I saw, and I've kind of been watching. One person said, when somebody was talking about going into a burning building, and a building that is obviously there's so much dust and smoke and everything else, and in question about it, and simply said, it's what we do. It's what we do. Commitment to do it. Commitment to do the job, no matter how big. I mean, okay, you hear about firemen. Yeah, they got to rescue a cat out of a tree. And I wouldn't. But they also will go into a burning building, and they'll go into a place where it could explode. And good night, folks. I mean, think about that. But there's a commitment there. Esther said this when she was called on to save her people. She said, if I perish, I perish. Wouldn't that be true of a policeman? Wouldn't that be true on a high-speed chase? Going after somebody who's wanting to get rid of him. Wouldn't that be true of a fireman going into a dangerous situation? Wouldn't that be true of a soldier? Certainly that'd be true of our soldiers who have faced things like people with bombs strapped to them offering a hand. Wouldn't that be true when you're in these other countries and you don't have any idea who's behind the next door or the next checkpoint, the next stop, what sort of weapon is aimed at your head? Wouldn't that be true? Wouldn't that be true of the ambulance driver and as they're speeding down the highway and any time their life could be taken? I'm just saying there's a commitment there. A commitment, a call, a cause, a commitment. Number four is courage. No question about that. Courage. Verse 18 says, the three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well and took it. No regard of their own life. That's courage. Only that the task must be done. Courage. Going after someone who wants to harm you. Flying to an area where the people want to kill you. That's courage. Courage. And that brings me to my last point. That's number five. And there's a commendation. And it should always be that way. Because these are heroes. David, really, he said it best. He said, you know, as they brought that water to him, and these three could have died at any time, he took it, and he wouldn't drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. My God, forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? What's David doing? You know, David is saying, here's how I want to thank you, men. This is something I really wanted. Here's how I want to thank you. and he poured the water out. Understand, the commendation was not because they were not recognized for their ability to fight, though they could fight. They were not recognized for that which they had been trained to do, though they had been trained to fight and certainly to go against many of the enemy. But that isn't what David was recognizing, and please get this, because this is the important thing. Here's what he was recognizing. He was recognizing their willingness to die for him. That's what Norm Holinsky does, and Derek. That's what Mr. Moffat does as a fireman. That's what Billy Bowers does. Detroit policeman. That's what, and I get in trouble when I start naming names, but that's what a soldier does. Yeah. It's okay, they're trained to do this job. They're trained and they have an ability and okay, there are recognitions for that, but today here's what we're recognizing, wow. Somebody was willing to die for me. Somebody was willing to pull me out of a fire. Somebody was willing to stand in the path of the bullet that's aimed for me. Somebody's willing to do that for me. Wow. And David said, thank you. Thank you, three, for being willing to do that for me. Willing to die. Mr. Moffat gave me something that's very precious, I know, to him. It's a fireman's prayer. It goes like this: when I am called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me strength to save some life, whatever be its age. Help me embrace a little child before it is too late, or save an older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert and hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently to put the fire out. I want to fill my calling and to give the best in me, to guard my every neighbor and protect his property. And if according to my fate I am to lose my life, please bless with your protecting hand my children and my wife. David said, you've got ability, you've been trained, you're soldiers, you're great fighters, but that isn't why I want to honor you today. I want to honor you today because you were willing to die for me. I want to close with John 15 and verse 13. John 15 and verse 13. As amazing as it is that a human would give his life for another human, I think about what God did. John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But I think the greatest story of one who put his life in jeopardy and died is the story of Jesus Christ. Greater love. There is no greater love than to put your life on the line, to lay down your life for your friends. That's the greatest love. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is the greatest, greatest love that God would give his own Son. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and that's what's amazing to me, Christ died for us. That's, what kind of love is that? While I'm cursing him, he died for me. While I'm breaking his commandment, he died for me. That's hard to imagine. But 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Today, here's how you can honor God for laying down his life. We've given some honor to some people, certainly not anywhere near what it should be. But it's something, it's recognition. But you say, well, what can I do to honor God? Here's the greatest thing in the world you can do to honor God for sending His Son to die. That is, just receive the gift He offers you. There is no greater honor to Him. You can say, thanks, Lord, and I appreciate what you've done. But no, the greatest honor is to take the gift. Just take the gift that He offers to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just take the gift. Take the gift. There is nothing greater you and I can do but to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never been saved, please don't leave here without trusting Christ as Savior. And if you are saved, live for Him. He died for you. Live for Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's talking. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Be honest. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I promise you that. But I'd like to pray for you. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know whether I go to heaven. You can know. You can know. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm going to heaven. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm already saved. But God's speaking to my heart about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for putting yourself in jeopardy and dying on an old rugged cross to pay for our sins. And I'm so glad that I'm saved today. And I pray that you'll help me to be thankful, to live for you, to do all that I can to do right. And then I pray, Lord, for anyone here who's not saved, that you'd save them today. Father, please help them to see that you gave your life so they could make that decision, so they could have that free gift, the gift of salvation. And please bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.